Kane again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello, I'm Charles Commons. Welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the award-winning podcast about Northampton Town Football Club. This week, we're looking back at the 2-0 win over Hartlepool, mulling over some suggestions for the future of Sixfields, and what Neil found in his treasure chest of Cobblers memories. Find out in our brand new feature. So now you know what's in store, let me introduce you to my good friends, Neil Edgerton Scott and Danny Brothers. Hello, boys. How are you?
Hello. Evening.
Hi. Hello, Charlie.
Morning.
Afternoon. Just about to put a Malwaum in my mouth, and I thought better of it.
Is that a euphemism?
It's not, no. It's a chewy sweet.
Can I ask you what flavour?
The one I was just about to put in was orange.
Orange.
Good sweets, aren't they, those? Very Moorish.
They are good sweets, yeah. Other sweets are available.
Yes. Indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, Charles, are you?
Fruit pastels, yeah.
100%.
Wine gums.
I'm on board with you introducing us as your good friend.
Well, you are, aren't you?
Makes a nice change.
Oh, right. I see what you mean. Yeah. For a second, I thought you were going to turn around and say, I don't like you.
No, not at all. Far from it. It was a nice change. Feels like a friendly pod incoming.
It is definitely a friendly pod, and I tell you why. I'm a bit fed up at the moment with negativity.
Oh, there we go. No negativity allowed.
No, I'm not saying that no negativity allowed. I'm just getting a bit, and it's not just Cobblers. You know, the whole world is quite negative at the moment. So
horrible, isn't it?
I don't mind being brutally honest and saying that, you know, my mental health has been quite crap over the last few weeks.
I can relate.
And so I'm just a bit like the one thing that I dearly love in the world, i.e. the Cobblers, and watching them play football, it's beginning. I don't know what that word is. It started to be very, I don't know, almost, I feel like it's been dragging me down over the past few weeks, which is ridiculous considering where we are in the league and that there is a potential promotion coming at the end of the season. I know that, nothing's set in stone or anything like that, obviously. But, you know, there's at least potential that we could get promoted.
We're on the cusp.
Yeah, and yet the negativity just seems to have overtaken a little bit. And it's gone a bit too far for me personally. It's dragged me down. It's made me feel unhappy and just not really enjoying supporting the Cobblers at the moment.
I think it's right. You will be, Danny. No, no, you won't. You won't be. Sorry, friendly pod. Friendly pod. You know what I find it is? Football is a release, right? The part of the reason why I enjoy going to the football and following sport in general and stuff is it's a release from the stresses of working, family, house, being an adult, basically paying bills or not paying bills at the moment as it feels. And when everything in the world generally is pretty miserable at the moment. Look, the cost of living thing is ridiculous, right? And it's tough for everybody to pay your bills, to put food on the table, to heat your house even. It's really, really hard, right? And when then your escape is a cacophony of negativity as well, then you don't have an escape, do you? And that's the problem. So I get it, Charles. I felt like that. So probably for more than a couple of weeks, actually. That said, it did feel like an escape on Saturday, and I really enjoyed the game. So
that's the thing I was going to say. There's so much stuff going on in the world with like Ukraine, with everything else you're saying about cost of living and all that kind of thing, and a million different things that can happen that you've got no control over at all. But the one thing that you, or one of the things in life that you put your most emotions into is also something you can't control. Mm. It's also something that's going to bring out a lot of emotions from you, that if you lose a game, it suddenly just becomes even more of a massive hit to you mentally, I think, than it would have done.
Because yeah, all though, this other it's stuff not even you can't the, control. And it's not even the losing, though. It's more the everything on social media about
it's the
stuff infighting, the outfighting, and everything. And it's just like, bloody hell, let's just try and enjoy the football. Yeah. And that's hard enough on its own at times.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't go a week without Sam Hoskins' name being mentioned somewhere.
No. Or like, oh, or someone calling you a liar, or you have to caveat everything you say now. Like, the Trust responded, or no, not wasn't. I don't think it was even the Trust. It might have been the Trust. I don't know who it was. Someone related to the Trust, or the Trust responded to the Cron news story about, I think it was what Kelvin Thomas had said and all that sort of thing, saying this is one of the most ridiculous things we've ever read or something and stuff. And I just responded. Initially, the response I wrote out was, can you both parties do this out like behind closed doors?
Right.
I need to see this. It's part of what's causing me to fall out of love with everything and stuff. Like, do it behind closed doors. I don't want to see all your dirty laundry. The Trust and the club both equally culpable. And then I went back and edited my response and made sure I put, this isn't an attack on the Trust. Because you have to think, it wasn't. It was like just like sick and tired. Just do it behind closed doors. Keep us all out of it.
Mm.
Sorry, I've ranted and you wanted a friendly pod.
No. This is kind of where, because it isn't just the actual football on the pitch that has been an issue. It feels like, and I know we say this as football fans for whichever club we support, but it feels like Northampton in particular, for the last, 10 years, maybe a few more, maybe 20 years, in fact, has been negative off the pitch so much. You know, this whole redevelopment of the Sixfield Stadium that was first mooted essentially way back when, you know, the Cardozers took the club on, 2002, maybe, slightly earlier than that. You know, it's been going on for such a long time that it is just a case of, you know, it's been bored down into, you know, the soul, essentially. And the fact that it's become this whole almost you and us kind of thing. You're either on one side or on the other. It doesn't matter what those sides are. It's just you're either, you know, happy to go along with what happens, or you want more than what could just potentially happen. And I don't get me wrong. I completely understand why some people are very, very engaged in terms of wanting the best possible thing for Northampton South Football Club. We all love the football club. We all love the Cobblers and want them to do the best that they can possibly do. We want them to be high achievers, as high as they can possibly get in both, you know, the football structure in English football and off the pitch as well, because obviously you hope that those two things will go hand in hand. You know, one will feed the other in terms of success. But I think, but what's happened over these last 20 years, I've had it happen to me. I've seen it happen to you, Neil. I've seen it happen to probably everybody that listens right now to the podcast, where if you say something, then somebody else will turn around and accuse you of either being anti-club or anti-trust, or you're not ambitious enough, or that you're too young to understand what's going on, or you're too you don't care enough, you're the problem. I've seen that. You know, it's awful. And to be honest with you, it's got to the, and I appreciate that we sit here every week, we do a podcast. You know, it was my choice to start this podcast, and I know that there will be some people that will turn around and say, if you can't hack it, put yourself out of the situation. Well, I did last week. That's exactly what I did. I put myself out of the situation and I didn't do the pod. Because I'd got to that point, and, you know, we've been doing this since September 2018. That's the first time that I've missed a pod because of the fact that I basically didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I literally went, I can't be bothered with this because it's not worth the grief that I end up feeling. And I feel really crap. And I did last Sunday when we were when we were due to record for last week's pod. I just didn't want to do it. And I literally just sat there just going, do I really want to talk about the fact that, you know, first of all, that we've lost the game to Bristol Rovers? I hadn't watched the game either, so I didn't really know how good or bad it had been as a performance. But do I really want to talk about that? Do I really want to talk about the whole thing with what's going on with the latest of the redevelopment deal and all of this, that and the other? And I just thought to myself, do you know what? No, I don't. I really don't. And I know that there's actually a part of me that this is turning into a therapy session. Sorry, boys, but
I've lied down.
But like, I found myself with both Twitter, especially, and with like the hotel end, where I don't tend to really post any. I certainly don't get involved in conversations about off-field activities at the football club. Because essentially it's not worth getting into a debate. As I said before, you'll always get somebody come back at you and say either you're wrong or try and, you know, move your argument or move your opinion to being theirs or whatever. And so I just don't bother. It's been a long time since I've really commented. And I've just got to the point where I've gone, I almost feel like I can't not look. It's a bit like when you see an accident on the motorway. You know that it's got nothing to do with you, but you can't help looking to see what's happened, can you?
It's got a term, Charles.
Is it rubbernecking?
That's the accident one. The other one's doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling. That is exactly it. And I'm looking for it and I'm wanting to know what's been said. And there are times when I see somebody that's written something and I think to myself, well, that's actually categorically wrong. It's factually inaccurate. And I look and I keep scrolling to see whether or not somebody has turned around and said, that's not correct. This is the correct thing. And I don't know why. Why does it bother me? And the only thing that I can come to is it's almost like an addiction. So last week, I've got rid of Twitter. It's off my phone now. I've not deleted my account or anything like that, but I don't have it there to look at. The only time I'm going to be able to look at it is if I'm sat on my computer and I'm doing it for work stuff. And even when I use Twitter for work, I'm not using the Twitter app. I'm using something else, another tool to be able to post my tweets out for work and for the pod, etc. So I'm not actually seeing the timeline. I'm not seeing what other people are talking about. And then when it comes to the hotel, I'm just having to just sort of go, I'm just not going to go on to it.
Yeah, I mean, don't.
Yeah.
That's your solution on that one.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be gained from visiting the hotel end at all. Nothing. You gain nothing from going on there.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's just cesspit.
It's weird, though, isn't it? How... Because in reality, what you want and what the reason why we do this pod, you know, is because we all enjoy talking about the Cobblers together. We enjoy going to the games together. We enjoy chatting about, you know, how the game has gone. And we enjoy I know, Neil, you don't particularly, and you haven't for a long time, enjoyed talking about the off-field stuff. And sometimes I feel like I have to make you do it and feel bad about it.
Meanie.
Yeah.
Meanie.
But, you know, we enjoy doing that. But I don't enjoy doing it on social media.
It's a society problem. You know, it's not, you're right. It's not but equally, it's not limited to the Cobblers. Mm. This is
definitely
systemic across all social media. You could say, you know, blue is blue. Someone will reply saying, well, it's not actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite blue, is it? You know what I mean? It's
it's not quite blue.
You could say, well, my name's John, and someone will be like, well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Actually, I've looked into it. And it's, no matter what, it's just, and that's the real, like, you know, we've spoken about social media and stuff before, haven't we? And said, look, the real plus is it does give everybody a voice, but that's also the real negative. And yeah, the only way to do it is, you know, limit and control who you see things from and stuff. The problem is then you're in a bit of an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And other views are sometimes good and stuff, but I think that the problem and what you're describing is when debate isn't actually really debate. It's because debate is healthy. Look, you know, sometimes we will debate, right? And hell, there's lots of times I'm wrong. Lots of times, you know, other people are wrong, and let's have a chat about it and understand it. But an opinion's an opinion. You can't have a go at someone and say, well, your opinion's wrong. Well, but it's not. That's my opinion. Like, you can't tell me my opinion is wrong.
Yeah. It's being
that's the whole point online. Of it being an opinion.
Yeah, being online is the issue, isn't it, I think, as well.
Yeah, of course it is.
Sat behind computers, because guarantee you, probably 80% of the people that you have arguments with or come and attack you online, if you sat down and have a pint with them, you'd be able to have a decent chat. You'd be able to have a decent conversation with them about, like, even if you disagreed. But it's because it's behind computers, it's just easy for people to be insulting and to be throwing stuff around and grouping you into some sort of, you know, anti thing about something. It's ridiculous. I mean, you're right, Neil, it happens in other stuff. Like, I have a fantasy football account and it happens on there as well. Like, I've gone off being on there as well, because you make a decision, you do things for a laugh, you think, all right, I'm gonna put my captain an FPL on this player this week, and then you still get people being like stupid about that.
It's
as well.
It's
like it's anything you do or say, you've got, there's someone in the world who's gonna just try and knock you off. And it's just not worth it sometimes. And that's the thing I love about a Slack group, that you go on there and you can talk in a good space about cobblers and have a laugh about stuff. And that tends to be where I stick to now. But I think it's just a shame, isn't it, that it's come to that. It comes to the point where you have to just leave stuff.
That Slack is a comfortable environment, right? There's no, people have different opinions on there, absolutely, and stuff. But it's discussed in like a human way. Yeah. Like, rather than, you know, someone disagreeing, fuck off! No, you're wrong!
Yeah, that's just our WhatsApp group.
That's just when Charles pipes up about Richard Hope again.
You're not wrong there. I mean, going, you know, to talk about the game on Saturday, the 2-0 win over Hartlepool. I mean, you were there, Neil. Danny, you and I, we both watched it on iFollow. As a game, I really enjoyed it. Now, there's an element of me which when I said, oh, I've actually really enjoyed this, I then sort of went, would I enjoy it if it was still 0-0? Is it the fact that because we were, like, at the time when I started saying I was enjoying it, we were 1-0 up. I mean, in fairness, what, Hoskin scored within 6 minutes, was it? So it was nice. But, I mean, I was there going, it was quite end-to-end at times. Hartlepool were going up, and I'm not saying that there were necessarily, you know, gilt-edged chances at each end of the pitch, but it was like, you attack, then we'll attack. You attack, we'll attack. As a football match, it was fun to watch. Did you get that sense in the stadium, Neil?
Yeah, it was a more enjoyable game to watch than a fair few others that we've been to or that I've seen this season, definitely. I wouldn't say it was... There was spells where I was yawning, I think, if I'm not going to lie. But no, it was... I mean, it started off on the right foot, right? They had a chance pretty much in the first minute, which they should have scored, actually.
Mm.
And then we went down the other end, and I think Pinnock probably should have scored, shouldn't he? Which helped. So it was quite open. They, I thought, played an okay style of football, actually. They weren't complete lump it. They played a couple of well-directed balls over the back of our defence, which seemed to cause us trouble and stuff. But it was a decent enough game of football. I thought the ref was relatively poor, actually. That said, there was nothing major and it didn't affect the game. So maybe he did all right, actually. Maybe I'm being harsh on him. But there was a couple of times where I got frustrated at him.
There's a couple of penalty shouts, weren't there?
Yeah, there was. And it was odd because there was a couple of times where, whether it was a free kick or a corner waiting to be delivered into the box, and he'd hold up play and speak to the defender and the attacker, as if to say, look, I've got my eyes on you and stuff. And then the corner or the free kick could come over and the defender and attacker would be all over each other. So he obviously hasn't got their eye on him. But no, I think to your point, Charles, yeah, it was more enjoyable, but it's always more enjoyable when we're winning, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the referee thing, with that, you know, defender and attacker at a corner or a free kick or whatever, I often think that what tends to happen is that he's basically saying, look, I'm watching you two. And if there's a, you know, a major foul, then, you know, I will see it. And then both players tend to sort of then grapple each other, and it's six of one, half a dozen the other, half a dozen of the other. And the referee just kind of goes, well, you've both fouled each other, so I'm just not going to give anything. And it's one of those. And if a goal goes in, he tends to then rule it out and call the the foul in favour of the defender. But he'll never give a penalty in that sort of situation. Yeah. He just, you know, referees tend to just sort of want to just sort of go, look, you're both doing silly things to each other.
my lad spotted it. He was like, can I do that on Sunday mornings then? And I was like, well, you know, for whatever reason in professional football, you kind of can do what you want on a corner or a free kick.
Yeah.
It's a bit different. It's weird.
It is a bit weird. I mean, I was listening to the Hartlepool commentary on iFollow
is that because you'd had enough of Oglethorpe?
No, it wasn't. The sound quality was very tinny.
And I sounded like they're in a box.
Yeah.
Tin Oglethorpe.
I love it. Well done, Neil. but yeah, it was good to listen to a different side of it. And don't get me wrong, they were biased towards Paul's completely. But I mean, I didn't feel like I was. I certainly wasn't getting annoyed with them, but they were calling the game quite fair. And with regards to the referee, they were quite impressed with him, and they were saying it was nice that he was letting the game flow, because there were a lot of times when he could have blown his whistle for a foul to give a free kick. But because the game was still going, he was essentially playing advantage without telling everyone, you know, in that Mike Dean way. The one, yeah. Do you remember, was it a Tottenham goal where he
celebrated?
More or less ran with his two hands out in front of him with palms up and just kept running and then turned around and ran towards the centre circle.
There was he did do that. He also, there was a couple of times where he should have played advantage and he didn't.
Right.
Which was frustrating. Mm. Probably for Hartlepool, I think twice it was for them and once for us potentially. He was good. You could tell because it was Keith Stroud, wasn't it?
Who was
refereed at a higher level.
Mm.
So he definitely had his wits about him in terms of the Danny Rose-esque approach, if that makes sense, of throwing yourself to the floor and stuff, which was a bit nicer than usual.
On the commentary, Charles, you said it was decent. How was the co-commentator? Out of interest. So reasonable enough co-commentator, I guess.
Yeah, I think
we all know. We all know who's.
Was it you?
It wasn't. No. It was. I was going to say because Omar Bogle plays for Hartlepool, didn't he? Missed that chance earlier.
Oh, of course.
We had some nice co-commentary from him last season, didn't we? So
yeah.
Was it Doncaster?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, Doncaster.
The dullest co-commentary.
You forgot about that.
The scene.
No, it was quite good. I think, by the sound of it, it was commentary that was done specifically for iFollow. So it wasn't like what we get, which is the Radio Northampton feed. It was a specific, we're watching what you're watching, you know, and we're commentating for a TV audience.
What we could do.
Kind of what we could do, yeah. It'd be amazing. But no, it was...
I wouldn't have a clue what was going on in the game.
To be fair, they didn't have to tell you what was going on in the game because you could see it. So that allowed them to basically have a conversation about what was happening rather than, you know, do that whole thing of saying, oh, Hoskins sprays it out wide and, you know, bits and pieces like that. Occasionally they would do it. And the one thing that I will say about it that was really good was that they clearly knew all of the players' names for both sides, all of them without fail.
Most away commentators.
it was good. I enjoyed watching. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I wasn't necessarily listening intently to what they were saying because a lot of the time it was about what Hartlepool were doing and stuff, but they were quite flattering about us. They were very positive about how we were, but they called the game quite fair, which was to sort of say, I think you mentioned it before, Neil. I mean, it could have been, what, 2-1 to Hartlepool within the first couple of minutes. Pinnock had that. Would you say he kind of snatched at it first time, didn't he, really?
And, and
on his right foot.
Straight at the keeper.
Yeah, he didn't really. Whereas Pauls had an effort, fairly decent chances either side of that, hadn't they? And then, of course, Apparé slots Hoskins in. Oh, it was a lovely goal. I've not tired watching it back on the highlights on Twitter and where else do they post it? It wasn't Twitter, I saw it, YouTube probably, and then the iFollow highlights. I've enjoyed watching it back. I really have enjoyed watching it back. Lovely finish. Lovely pass in by Apparé. Yeah. And then
Pinnock did well first, didn't he? And then, Apparé did well. Yeah. Hoskins just
a lovely slotted finish.
Hoskins' little cherry.
Straight at the keeper. Wasn't it?
Beautiful finish. Officially, by the way, officially Sam Hoskins' best scoring season now.
Really?
I told you I'd get to double figures, didn't I?
You did. How many penalties has he had this season? It's not that many, is it?
No, he's.
I'm not trying to have a go at that. I like where you went with that, Danny. You immediately thought I was dissing him.
Well, I thought you were going to go down the route of Ronaldo scored 50 goals this season, but he scored 40 penalties. Kind of.
No, nothing at all. What I was trying to say was that you can't level that accusation at him because he's not scored that many penalties, I don't think.
No, he's missed one, didn't he? Did he miss one?
I think he did miss one at the start of the season. Yeah. But yeah, he's doing well, Sam, on the goals front this season.
Come on.
I would say that I think he's having his best season in a Cobblers shirt.
I think he's got better. I think he. I would question his delivery still from wide positions at times, but from dead ball situations, he seems to have got better with that. And I think actually he is pretty integral to how we play because he does a lot of work for the team. And I know he's never going to be the Lionel Messi of League Two. And he's always going to be a bit of a frustrating player at times, but the energy he brings and the ground he covers and he seems to have matured a little bit, I think, as a player, which is great.
Do you think as well? Because one of the things that I think I noticed on Saturday was that we're not tending to play the ball into the box in the air as much. We are looking a lot more to play it along the floor, not necessarily to feet. We're still crossing the ball in, but we're looking to do it at more maybe sort of foot to midriff height. It's because we don't really have a target man, do we, as such, who is going to be looking to get on the end of crosses necessarily. It's more we're looking to get the ball into Apparé for him to then maybe feed like Pinnock and Hoskins and those others around him.
Yeah, he's coming deeper a bit now, Apparé, as well. I think we played a little more on Saturday, a little bit more on the break than we have been doing using the post. I think we changed it a little bit up anyway, because I think Sowerby was the only one really sitting. Lewis was further forward. And Lewis actually thought I had a decent game. We've levelled a lot at him over the last few weeks about playing deeper, but I thought he actually had a really good game again. Pinnock seemed to be in a different position and he just ran the show completely from the middle of the park.
I thought Lewis was atrocious.
Did you?
For the first 30 minutes and then the rest of the game, I thought.
I think it's going to be interesting next week because obviously it's a massively different beast next week when we're playing away to Mansfield. Are we going to be able to afford to just stick Sowerby as the one defensive midfielder? That's going to be the challenge, I think. Coming up against the likes of Matty Longstaff and stuff. It's a completely different game, but I enjoyed it in general.
It was good.
Good game.
I want to publicly apologise to Chanka Zimba.
Yes.
Because when he came on for Apparé, I said something along the lines of, what's that going to do?
First touch, Charles.
Oh, dear. And It was. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a fortunate chance, I think.
That's what you need.
Much like Sam Hoskins, he managed to hit it straight at the keeper, but luckily he made him.
that's exactly what he needed, though. He needed one.
Yeah, he did. Just need one to.
Because he's had two or three chances one-on-one, and it's got to drain his confidence a little bit. So to get one like that, you just got to see it at the back of the net and keep it going.
Yeah, he was lively, actually.
Mm. A lot livelier than I've seen him, to be fair.
Yeah, he did look a lot livelier. And so did the other sub.
Epia.
I thought he was brilliant at times.
And he was playing almost right wing or right wing back at times, wasn't he? I mean, weird, really, considering that towards the end of the game, we had Harriman on and McGowan.
Love to see Neil.
Love to see him
get going. It's lovely to see him go out now and again, isn't it?
Yeah. I love the fact that Brady clearly called Neil off the, out of the stand. Come and get a shirt on. You're on to Neil.
Really, really pleased. He warmed up in front of me, and I was like, "Is that me? No, it's not.
Is that me? It's a mirror.
Hold on, sat here. What are you on about?
Were you there with your kids, Neil? Were they going, Daddy, how are you? Yeah. What? You're there and here. What's
that gif of the two Spider-Man songs?
Oh yeah,
that is the one and only time I'll ever be described or likened to a superhero. Thank you.
What we need is we need someone like Luke Thoday to do that. Pictures of Neil of just pointing at each other. But yeah, that'd be great.
You should just go dressed in full kit next time, Neil, and then just do a little joke between you and the actual Harriman and just say, swap for like 2 minutes, so they get yourselves run down to the bench and see if Brady recognises it.
No, just don't mind that. That'll be the time when Brady's like, oh, come on, Michael, you're up. I need you on. I'll be like, oh, shit.
That's Neil.
Yeah, that's not really me.
Oh, that would be so funny.
Why did the Cobblers get promoted? Well,
can you imagine? Last 5 minutes of the season, right? Let's short it up a bit. Right, get Harriman on. Where is he? Oh, just down there. Go on.
Why is he smoking by the corner?
Exceptional. Absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, a 2-0 win, which was comfortable in the end, wasn't it?
A few dicky moments in defence, I've got to say, Charles.
Yes. Okay.
The second half. I don't know what went on. Funny 5 minutes we had, didn't we?
Yeah, it was one of those, wasn't it? Which was this is why I say it was fun to watch, because yes, we won the game, but it was end to end at times, and it didn't. Yeah, like I say, if we hadn't have won it, I'd have been apoplectic, I think. Ooh. But you know,
we're at the stage of the season where I'm not finding that fun though.
Are you not?
No, not the defensive stuff. I'm like, it's too late in the season for that sort of nonsense now. If we were mid table, then I'd find it hilarious, but.
But to be honest, Liam Roberts, essentially, I would say, gained us the 3 points. Really? He made two fantastic saves.
Yeah. Is it 18 clean sheets now, is it?
Yeah.
It is the most in all four professional English divisions.
Yeah. Better than good, isn't he? Shame we won't keep him.
Do we?
Now, Neil.
Sorry, no.
Positive pod. Positive pod.
Why didn't we sign a good goalkeeper?
He signed a 10-year contract.
Oh, dear. Right. Good game. Looking forward. Still plenty left to play for, which is lovely. And obviously, we'll have the
results
preview
weren't too
show.
Bad, were they?
No, well, this is it, isn't it? Results also... would we go and say went our way?
I think at this stage of the season, they're probably as good as you're going to hope for, because a couple of the teams around us are going to win, right?
If you're going to gain points on a couple of teams, then that's fine, I think. We could have done without the Mansfield goal going in the 95th minute. But
was that for a win or a draw?
That was for a win.
That was for the win. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, decent. You know, Newport only drew. Who else was there?
So Bristol Rovers lost, didn't they? Tranmere lost.
Yeah, Bristol Rovers and
Port Vale beat Sutton. And,
either way, that was
going to
be all right.
Hanging on. There are lots of points still to play for, lots of time. I mean, if you just...
What points make?
Prizes.
What do prizes make?
Points. Don't know.
Oh, I don't know either.
No, good. Right, okay, carry on.
Happy smiles.
Happy smiley people.
Smiley happy people.
On Wednesday, Cobblers have invited fans to a consultation evening to talk about the Sixfield Stadium. It's not necessarily about the East Stand, is it? It's about what we
as
fans...
It would be, won't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Might be a couple of questions.
They want to seek supporters' views on a number of opportunities around the football club. So obviously we're sending in an email, aren't we, declaring that, that is subject line, Dean Pier Corridor.
Slash water park?
Or? And it wasn't mentioned as a ridiculous idea, remember?
There we go. There we go. Yeah. Which can only mean it is a possibility.
Definite possibility.
I'm only going if Councillor Sally Beardsworth is going to answer my questions.
Oh, right.
Why what? Specifically Councillor?
That's the only one I can remember. Come on, Sally. Get down there.
Fair enough. Out of interest, what would you like to see? First of all, on a serious note, what would you like to see? If you could change one thing about Sixfields, it's a realistic thing that you could change to make it better, what would it be, Danny?
What, not allowed water park?
No, a serious, realistic thing that is, when I say realistic, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. It could just be something that will just make either your experience or the stadium or something around a match day better.
Well, I think they started on Saturday doing the little extension to Carsbad, didn't they? That's decent.
That was nice.
I thought that's because I know they've had a couple of issues with their reason. That always makes the match day a little bit easier if you can get a drink earlier or easier. That's the main thing, I think.
So have that
a little bit, little
have that
bit
back
more
every game.
Yeah, well, or just like find a way to make it smoother, to make it better, to make it
okay.
Nice.
I mean, here's my thing, and it's just cosmetic things to fix. So first of all, the square,
the square
in the middle of the big screen.
Still catchphrase.
Yeah, yes.
5 seconds, here we go.
Fix that. That would be, you know, and I appreciate that once you fix that, there's probably other things that people will say cosmetically need to, but I really do, it really bugs me. Because I think everybody looks at that screen. Doesn't matter where you sit in the stadium, you can see it. And if it's broken, which part of it is, it just looks a bit rubbish, personally. So therefore, I that would be my one thing. Fix that. That'd be a good start. Neil, anything from you?
Yeah, I agree with the screen. Mm. Wouldn't mind seeing the toilets being a little bit more, not welcoming, that's the wrong thing. Not welcoming by a toilet. Right,
you want one of those people who stand in the toilets and like wash your hands for you?
Or yeah, I'd like that. That'd be nice. But perhaps a little bit cleaner and, you know, a bit of a lick of paint here or there. And I would like a proper fans area, yeah, like the thing they did with the cars bar on Saturday was a small step, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I would like a fully fledged fans zone, if you will. And I don't necessarily mean I'm after stages for music or boxing or anything like that. That's probably longer term look at, isn't it? But certainly as a starter for 10, I would like to see somewhere where.
What would you put in this fan zone, Neil? What would you have in there?
Oh, now you're talking.
Let's imagine that we
are we still we take on serious suggestions?
let's go with serious, but let's go with like let's just
no helter skelter.
Yeah. Let's say for argument's sake, it's going to the fans' village will be on the West Stand car park.
Yep.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, that's where it would be. What would you have there?
So, by the way, up on the West End car park, also like it was like if that was a massive marquee,
right? Okay,
doesn't have to be a marquee, but no. You know, you need some cover in the great British weather. I would like to see numerous different places to buy drinks from, rather than just one bar. So, a couple of bars, like the pop up bars, fine, great.
Would they be like different ones? Would you like have a gin bar and then a real ale bar and then just a bottle bar?
Yeah, you'd need to go too wild. It's not it's not a night out as such, is it? But yeah, some different drink options rather than just your standard Carlsberg. I don't know, we do have different drink options anyway, but different options, different food options, almost a little bit like, you know, the Bite Street thing that there is.
No, but go on.
So they have essentially like these different food vendors, little, you know, huts selling different types of food and stuff. Like,
I've got you.
Things like that. So, I mean, they have something similar at Saints, right? We've said it before. I don't know, it's not as easy just to say, well, let's just replicate that. But that sort of thing, a place where as a group of supporters and you can congregate before a game, a good time before a game, have a nice drink, have something to eat. You know, you could have the DJ there. You could, in theory, get some live music in. And I'm going to say it, and I know you said serious suggestions. This is a serious suggestion. We could get our own version of Dave Banana from Plymouth.
Get him in. Donald Plum.
But then, like, a decent Donald Plum. A decent compare, you know, someone, you know, get a bit of chit-chatting. The injured players could come and do a little interview before, you know, before the game and stuff. Couple of giveaways, you know, loves a giveaway, right? A couple of free T-shirts out and stuff. Like, things like that, like, you know, just make it a bit...
How about a
more
live...
of an experience.
Live podcast, Neil.
Oh.
I think the problem with that is, Danny, people wouldn't go and watch the game.
No, you're right. Right, Neil.
It'd be so good. More of this, please.
Name that bench.
play
all the hits.
Thrown at us. But no, I mean, like... For me, it's about the experience, and it's so, and an example of this is on Saturday. I went with my kids. One of them brought his mate along. We actually got into the ground at about 2:15. We were in the West Stand. Didn't have anything to do. Sort of sat down and sort of waited. I nipped out the back at the North Stand for a quick cigarette, which was nice for me. Obviously, not nice for them. And yes, we could have gone in the East End and we could have experienced, you know, the kids' zone, which they do a good job of. That's
kind of outside of it, though, isn't it?
It's just before you get into the stand, yeah. Isn't it? And we didn't want to sit in the East End because I don't particularly like the view and I don't like the East End as it is at the moment. So,
any particular reason why?
I just said I don't like the view and I don't like how it is at the moment. So that's two reasons for you, Charles.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you want any more?
No, that'll do. Plenty.
And also that when the sun's shining, it's right in your eyes.
Right, okay. So maybe the club could put sun visors on every seat.
Give everyone sunglasses. There you go.
Yeah,
branded sunglasses. Ray-Bans. But no, I think it's about the experience for me, right? It's
or Ray O'Donovan's.
There's a kebab stall in the middle of Bristol called the Jason Donovan.
Oh, yes. Didn't Jason Donovan actually go to it recently
as
well?
Yes,
I saw that. Yeah. Brilliant. I mean, if you could have absolutely anything...
Water park.
...happen at Sixers to make it better, what would that be, Danny?
Water park.
A water park.
Yeah.
Neil?
Obviously, Charles, it's a water park.
What absolutely, yeah.
The question.
Three votes for the water park.
Four, actually. James Hennigan.
Yes. Henners loved it. Love a water park. Anyway, that's enough of our suggestions for the time being. If you've got any more, then you can email the football club or you can go down to Sixfields on Wednesday night and tell them in person. We'll be back in a moment after this tiny little advert about our Patreon, probably. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank you very much for staying with us. It's time for a bit of this.
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun. at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Neil.
Hello.
Is your post bag bulging?
It's always bulging. Always bulging. We have one in from Craig West.
Oh, hi, Craig.
Hello, Craig. So he says, Dear Neil's postbag, this week Wrexham starred in an excellent advert for 1Password. Other password managers are available. My question is, if NTFC players and staff did the same, collectively or individually, what would they advertise?
Oh. Oh, that's quite good. If you've not watched this, by the way, you need to just go to... I think Ryan Reynolds released it. I saw it on Facebook over the weekend. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds, movie star, hilarious man of amazing hair. And
that is how he likes to be known.
Yeah, it is, definitely. He used some of the Wrexham players, well, I think most of them, to help him make an advert for 1Password, this cybersecurity company, which was amazing. You should go and check it out. Go and find it on the old social media, on the old Tinterweb, and you'll see it. We had some cracking suggestions in the Slack, in fact, I noticed from people. Would you like to hear a few of them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Sorry, I wasn't sure whether you were asking us or the audience, Jeff.
Oh, no, I was asking you because you can actually reply to me. Thank you, boys. Gareth Kingston replied.
Come on, Gareth.
He'd like to see Danny Rose advertising eHarmony for people who can't score.
Also, the irony of Danny Rose advertising something with harmony in its name. His style of play does not scream harmonious.
It's not, is it? Robert Sammons has a few ideas. Mitch Pinnock and the Royal Mail, the postman who always delivers. Oh, nice. Sam Hoskins and Marmite. You either love it or hate it.
I thought Sam Hoskins would be great at gnomes.
Why?
Gnomes.
I think just because he's quite short.
Oh, right. Okay. You tell him that to his face.
No, I shan't.
And then Ryan Eldred said bottles based on current form. That's very, very harsh, ooh. Ryan. Plastic bottles. Or glass?
Always glass.
Yeah, how about you guys? Any that you can think of?
Liam Roberts.
Oh, yes.
Paper.
Paper.
It's just A4 paper because he likes a clean sheet.
I was going to go with some bedding.
Bedding.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I'd have probably gone with some sort of washing machine detergent.
But Calgon.
Daz. Liam Roberts doing the Daz doorstep challenge.
I feel like John Guthrie would advertise like a hunting trip.
Okay, that's come out of nowhere.
As in, he's leading a hunting trip.
He's leading a hunting trip, dressed in camo.
Yeah,
he's got a bow and arrow. Okay. I feel like I can see him doing that, Guthers.
Brilliant. I like it. I like
a squirrel.
Oh, dear. Okay, if you've got anything Cobblers related you'd like to let us know about, any questions like that, then send them. podcast@cobblerstome.com. Now, boys, I'm very excited. We've got a new feature. No, Danny. Uh-huh. A new feature for the pod, which we're liking to call Neil's Lost Letters.
Oh, this is exciting. Speaking of eHarmony.
Now, the other day, Neil went into his treasure trove of Cobblers-related memorabilia, and he found some very interesting articles from the Chronicle and Echo.
Oh, I've got a lot.
Is this written by Neil?
Written by Neil.
In the Chronicle.
Yes.
Yeah,
so, if you've ever heard...
Was Neil the original Steve Richards?
Oh,
No, this was the. Do you not remember? I think you even did a few, didn't you, Danny? This was when they did like the fans writing.
Oh, I probably did something. Yeah.
Fan stand, it was called.
Oh, that's it. Yes. Yes, yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
Well, anyway, if either of you have ever seen, well, if anybody has ever listened to the brilliant comedy podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno, I thought what we could do is we could hear Neil read some of his hits, and we can then critique them. We can shout our opinions back at him.
Yeah.
So...
Can we get some context to this now? How old are you when you're writing this?
Well, I think we need to get context for each one, really.
How old was I?
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So this first one that you've got for us, Neil.
Okay, well, I was going to say pick a number.
Oh, okay. Between one and what?
Probably 25.
Okay. Half a year's content here. Brilliant. Let's go. Let's go with, let's just go with number one.
Oh.
Let's start at the beginning.
Oh. We're lovers and we're losers.
Number one. You ready for this?
Ready.
It was the Gary Johnson era, so when was that?
Oh.
Oh, hello.
It was the Gary Johnson and Eddie Boothroyd era.
So that's, 2012, 2013?
Yeah, is this so just one word, Neil?
I'll tell you what, I'll read the first line. There are some comical decisions being made by Gary Johnson lately, and it smacks of desperation from a man trying to save his job.
Oh.
I feel like we need some dramatic music behind this.
You'll recognise this one, Danny.
Oh,
yeah.
A 9-goal thriller at Sixfields might sound like great entertainment, but when 7 of the 9 goals are not in your favour, it becomes excruciating viewing.
Hang on a minute before you go any further. I'm just going to say, Danny Stag do. Was it the 7-2 defeat to Shrewsbury, Neil?
It was. It was. Little did we know, Danny, that at that point in time, we'd both be on the same podcast discussing it.
I really hope there's something in here about a guy dressed as Gandalf stood in the stands.
Well, it's funny you say that. We lost 7-2 on our own patch to an average Shrewsbury town. We invited them into our house, allowed them to drink our beer, and made them sandwiches, and then we sent them on their merry way.
Brilliant. Out of interest. What sandwiches were we offering?
I don't know. What was I on about? It gets worse. It wasn't even a case of they came, they saw, they conquered. There was nothing for them to conquer. We are like a mountain without a summit. You just need to turn up and you're guaranteed success.
Oh. What?
It's like a David Sneddon song.
It carries on.
Lyrically genius.
Never before have I witnessed such waving of the white flags from a Cobblers team. It was horrific and insulting to the home fans who paid to watch, especially those dressed like twats.
Brilliant.
I may or may not, Danny, have added that last bit as well. I will leave you to work out if the Cron printed that.
Oh, I love it, Neil. I love the fact that you've gone with mountains without summits.
Incredible. Then I rip into Kelvin Langmead.
Oh, no.
Rip into Ashley Westwood.
Oh, no.
Well, expected.
it was a poor team back then. Then talk about Aaron Davis and Chris Arthur.
Blimey. Chris Arthur. Aaron Davis spent more time, I think, on his hair than on the football pitch for the Cobblers.
Yes. I think you're right.
Did he play for Exeter as well, Aaron Davis?
He did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did, didn't he? He was quite good at. Was it Forest?
Did someone say that he was the David Beckham of the lower leagues?
Well, that's a bold statement.
It's a very bold statement, and that's why I'm thinking I can remember it being given. I mean, incredible letdown. Mm. If true,
I've just found some photos of that day. Refresh my memory. It looks like there's some sort of mascot race happened at half time. So I've got a photo of Clarence lined up with two or three Shrewsbury mascots and then a giant, what looks like weird bird
That's not the county. That's not the county FA bird, is it, that we've been seeing at Sixth?
Oh, no, recently? No, it's a completely different one. I don't know what it is. Oh, okay.
It does vaguely ring a bell, but I have blanked out most of my memory.
A picture of that now so you can see if it refreshes any memories.
I'm going to enjoy this.
That must be Paul C or Phil K on the microphone, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
What an amazing... Oh, yeah. It's a Nando's bird, isn't it?
Oh, is that a Nando's bird, is it? It is. Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Looks like a Nando's bird to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
I mean, considering how terrible we were, there's a lot of fans still just in the North Stand there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was only three. Was it 3-0 at half time?
I mean, that's bad enough, isn't it?
I think the first 25 minutes or so, we were decent as
I'm pretty sure we got it back to 3-2 at one point.
Yeah, we did.
Well, yeah. There we go.
Everlasting memory of landing.
I'm sure that whole game is on YouTube somewhere. Well, that Shrewsbury, I think Shrewsbury have put it up somewhere. I'm pretty sure.
I think, Charles, here we go. This is a good thing to do. Next time you're feeling like you were feeling last week, YouTube, this game, start watching it from start to finish.
Yeah, here we go.
And I reckon after that, you'll be in a better place.
There you go.
Have you just
put the link there for the entire game? For
the YouTube link is now in our WhatsApp. Well,
maybe that's something we should do over the summer. Just go back and watch tragic games of the past and just put commentary over the top of them.
Oh, wouldn't that be good? We should definitely do that. That'd be an amazing idea.
Bayo played in that game. How did we lose Bayo? How did we lose 7-2 with Bayo in our team?
Well, because we had Ashley Westwood,
Chris Arthur,
Chris Davis.
What a team! Jeez.
Oh, what a team! That
Andy Holt. Was that back in the time when we were playing Andy Holt up front as well?
Yes,
possibly. Remember that?
Yeah.
Good old Holty.
Oh, my
stick
word.
Him up front.
Oh dear.
Dark days.
Well, look, Neil. I enjoyed that. I thought that was incredibly good. I can't wait for next week.
Oh yeah, we've got some belters to get through. I'll tell you what. I'll give you the title of one.
Oh.
Which we should cover off next week.
Okay.
Headline, Cardoza deserves the freedom of the town.
Oh, my.
Never, ever have I been so wrong in my entire life.
To be fair, he almost got it, didn't he?
Well, he stole it.
He stole it, but...
Allegedly.
It's your fault, well, Neil.
One way to get it. It's my fault. I'll take the blame.
If there's not any other reason to tune into It's All Cobblers to Me next week, then there is the reason for you to do so.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Danny. Thank you. And thank you to Neil as well. That was absolutely brilliant. We'll be back Friday, the preview show. We'll have a Mansfield fan on because it is, of course, a big, big game.
6 pointer.
It is a 6 pointer. Danny, you've been waiting, haven't you, for this?
My appetite has been whetted.
Oh, wet it.
Mansfield playing midweek as well, don't they? I think
they do. Yeah. So that's they got their game in hand.
Many games in hand.
Indeed. It's
Hartlepool.
Oh, come on, the Pools.
Come on, the Pools.
Long Tuesday night trip. Yeah, at Hartlepool, yeah.
And I tell you what, Hartlepool weren't atrocious. They just need someone that can put the ball in the net.
Indeed. Omar Bogle, potentially. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, if you do like what you hear and want to support us to keep making episodes, then you can join the fan club on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. That's all from us. I hope you have a great week. And of course, up the cobblers.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing.